You're listening to the IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service. Welcome to the reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for this date, January the 8th, 2024. Support for this reading comes from the DuPaco R.W. Heffer Foundation. I'm Marge.
I'm Pat.
And here is our first story.
Iowa legislature eyes further conservative tax cuts. Tricky budget considerations. Local members of the Iowa legislature Republican majority are telegraphing plans to continue tax cuts in their upcoming session. But they also share concerns echoed by local Democrats on several unmet needs. State lawmakers will convene Monday, January 8th, to begin the 2024 legislative session. Republicans will return to Des Moines this week on the heels of multiple sessions of historic conservative tax cuts and education reforms. While local governments and public school officials have said they expect to struggle with the impacts of laws passed in recent years, local Republicans have been resolute in their desire to continue further tax cuts and even tighter budgeting this session. Still, Eastern Iowa lawmakers, Republican and Democrats alike, shared growing concerns about mental health and education outcomes, among other issues, which local leaders say need to be addressed and soon. Republicans eye additional tax reform. The legislature has cut an aggressive path through Iowa tax policy in recent sessions. Recent changes include the legislature in 2021, giving the state control over public mental health funding previously paid by county property taxes, passing a phased-in flat 3.9% income tax in 2022, and restricting cities and counties' property tax authority in 2023. Iowa Senator Carrie Coker, Republican Dyersville, said her aim in these moves was to make Iowa more competitive with other states. Our tax system is broken. Detractors want us to go back. We're going forward. Local lawmakers do not yet have a clear picture of what Republican leaders are planning for this year, and none has specific bills to introduce or propose specific language for tax reform. But they predicted that further reductions in property and income taxes and potential sales tax reform are to be expected this session. The property tax reforms of 2023 limit counties' total taxable property valuation growth to 3%. Eclipsing that mark triggers automatic levy rate reductions. The law also reduces the number of levy cities can access. The legislature largely left school districts and their taxing authority alone with its recent reforms. However, Iowa Representative Shannon Ungen, Republican of Piasta, said reforming property taxes for schools could be put up for consideration this year. Something I always hear, that a good 48% to 54% of property taxes we pay go to school districts. That's aside from what the state gives them. So that's another discussion that's going to have to happen. The 2023 property tax reform had near unanimous bipartisan support, but Democrats, already critical of current funding levels for public education, are unlikely to agree to further restrictions. There are 18 more Republicans than Democrats in the Iowa Senate and 28 more Republicans in the Iowa House of Representatives. However, so winning over Democrats won't be necessary to pass legislation. local Iowa Republicans said some of their peers in the legislature are pressuring to eliminate the state's income tax or accelerate the phase-in of the 3.9% flat tax currently set to take full effect in tax year 2026. Republican Governor Kim Reynolds also has voiced support for those initiatives. Iowa Representative Norlin Momensen, a Republican of DeWitt, agreed with accelerating the flat tax implementation. It's coming to a consensus to speed up the flat tax of 3.9% due to the fact that we're sitting on large amounts in our taxpayer relief fund. So that is a top priority. Other area Republican legislatures either have proposed pursuing the elimination of Iowa's income tax or at least have the impact of the flat tax need to be addressed first. According to Iowa Revenue Estimating Conference, state personal income tax is expected to make up roughly 47.4% of the state's projected $11.36 billion in total tax revenues in the current fiscal year. Personal income tax is set to make up 45% of the $11 billion in total tax revenues in fiscal year 2025, which will begin July 1st. If our income tax is at zero, government is hungry and will find another way to eat, said Iowa Senator Dan Zumbach, Republican of Ryan, at a Dyersville Area Chamber of Commerce forum. And we only have three tax services, income tax, property tax, and sales tax, we can really draw from. We're landing at that 3.9%. I think that is probably appropriate. Democrats also are aiming for income tax cuts, but specifically for middle class and working class Iowans. Previously, Republicans made income tax cuts, said Iowa Rep. Lindsey James, a Democrat of Dubuque. The bulk of those went to wealthy people and corporations. Middle-income Iowans saw almost no benefit, and 400,000 Iowans in the lowest tax bracket saw no relief. Lungen acknowledged said benefits and income tax cuts don't necessarily trickle down to low-income Iowans. That kind of cut is great for the income taxpayers, but doesn't help the person who is low-income. At Dubuque Area Chamber of Commerce legislative kickoff on Friday, Lungen said furthering tax sales tax exemptions might better benefit low-income Iowans than Democrats targeted income tax cuts. Senator Pam Locum, Dubuque Democrat, said that further income tax cuts, especially for wealthy people, would further stress the state's budget. Budget complications expected. According to the Iowa Revenue Estimating Conference report, from December, the state is expected to receive 6.7% less from personal income tax and 24.9% less from inheritance tax, which is being eliminated for the current fiscal year. The state also was expected to see a 5.1% increase from last fiscal year's sales tax revenue, spurred in part by inflationary price increases on goods. State budgeters also expected a 1.5% increase in corporate income tax revenues, despite recent state corporate tax cuts, as corporations reported record profits in recent years. Overall, the state should see a 0.4% decrease in total tax revenue in the current fiscal year, according to projections. The Revenue Estimating Conference projects gathering 5.1% less in personal income tax revenues in fiscal year 2025, along with 14.5% less from corporate income tax and 30.7% less from inheritance tax. The state should expect a 4.5% increase in sales tax that year and roughly flat receipts overall for the fiscal year beginning July 1st. School spending flexibility on tap. Each session, one of the first tasks for the legislature is determining how much per student funding the state will provide to public school districts. School funding has led to early partisan fighting in recent sessions. Republicans have increased state aid to schools each session, but by a percentage lower than inflation and significantly lower than what Democrats and schools have sought. School district officials say with the current state of growth, they cannot pay enough to attract applicants when they have a teaching vacancy, while also facing the rising cost to utilities, insurance, and staff benefits. Local Democrats echoed those concerns. There are a lot of fixed costs that schools have to pay for, but that they have no control over, like electricity, Jokum said. It's like ignoring the facts of the cost of running a business. A starting wage for a teacher at $30,000 isn't the way to get new teachers, not when they are also walking away from college with too much student loan debt. If you adjust for inflation, we've shortchanged the public school system in Iowa by around $500 million in the last 10 years. Republicans have contended state and local funding are sufficient and that any shortfalls are caused by the school districts themselves. Both parties seek teacher supports. While school funding is set up to be a fight between parties again this session, local lawmakers of both stripes have publicly acknowledged a growing struggle facing teachers inside schools regarding bad behavior by both students and parents. Teachers have a very difficult job now more than ever, Lundgren said. Part of it is lack of respect. Parents side with the children more often than they do with the teachers. Iowa Speaker of the House Pat Grassley, Republican, New Hartford, issued a list of his priorities recently, which included giving teachers more disciplinary tools in addressing misbehaving students. Zumbach expressed support for such an idea at the Dyersville Forum. Local lawmakers across the board acknowledged that mental health issues were at the cause of many issues facing schools and an area that needs additional support to address. There seems to be an uptick in things we're seeing in our youth and young adults around mental health, Volker said. Eisenhower introduced a bill last session to find a mental health specialist in every school building, which still is able to be taken up this session. If we don't have that kind of service available to students and their families, I don't think we can say we've made the effort. We've just moved the deck chairs ahead.
Our next article is Community Digs In to Help Nonprofit Growth. A Dubuque nonprofit recently received a major remodel that was completed in about 2 weeks thanks to some long nights from local contractors and tradespeople. With the help of donations, grants, and a team of dedicated workers, centrally rooted, located at 2230 Central Avenue, was transformed into quick order. Work began December 26th, and music lessons begin again today. Founder and CEO Kelly Mesher Fitzgerald said, "We were under a timeline of 2 weeks to get it all deconstructed and reconstructed," Mesher Fitzgerald said. "It's a sight to see right now, but it's really impressive to see how this group of really hardworking people have showed up and just haven't stopped. Centrally Rooted offers a variety of creative outlets, including music therapy, music lessons, exploration labs, and a course named Mindful Musicians that focuses on developing confidence and self-worth. One of the major updates to the nonprofit space was making the first floor compliant with the Americans with Disability Act. Mesher Fitzgerald said brick walls were torn down and concrete was poured to create a doorway allowing for wheelchair access. Centrally Rooted exploration labs, which are open to the public and allow people to be creative through music and art, were moved downstairs. That meant pulling down a lot of walls and redoing flooring and gutting out things that were unused because of unused spaces before. Several windows were created and the building was rewired, among other improvements, she said. Mr. Gisgerald said the number of tradespeople and contractors were donated time and resources to the renovation was amazing to see. She said all of them worked endlessly to meet the deadline, even on New Year's Day. "It's really incredible," she said. "They have great attitudes. Everybody's smiling down there." Mesher Fitzgerald's husband, Kyle Fitzgerald, who owns Fitzgerald Deconstruction and Reuse and is a part owner of Dubuque Reclaimed, contributed significantly to the renovation. However, he said the generosity of local tradespeople and contractors made the project happen. "At every turn," Kyle Gerald said, "the community showed up for Centrally Rooted, whether it was to donate materials, working late into the night, or helping out on late notice." Mesher Fitzgerald said, "By transforming the building to be the best version of itself, the project brought Centrally Rooted space in line with the organization's mission. What we're also trying to implement in each individual client that comes to Centrally Rooted is that the light is already within you," Mesher Fitzgerald said. "We just want to help you find it and feel stronger in that light." Caitlin McDermott enrolled her daughter in Mindful Musicians when Centrally Rooted first was founded and enjoyed it so much she enrolled her second daughter when she was born. "It's more than music and more than musical competence," McDermott said. "Kelly is helping to promote positive self-talk within the children." Brittany Farber, president and CEO of NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness, Dubuque, said she was excited to see Centrally Rooted grow and that the nonprofit is unique because not many organizations focus specifically on the intersection of music, mental health, and youth. As the organization moves into 2024 with a revamped space, Kyle Fitzgerald encourage community members to check out the organization's classes and exploration labs. She said she also hopes this year to open a recording, podcasting, and videography studio in the building. What Kaylee has built here is vibrating through the community, Kyle Fitzgerald said. It's so positive that it's the exciting part.
Dubuque and Tri-State. DeSantis criticizes bureaucracy during Dubuque campaign stop. Republican presidential candidate Ron DeSantis railed against bureaucratic red tape during a stop in Dubuque on Saturday ahead of the impending Iowa caucuses. Speaking to a crowd of roughly 200 at Gary Dolphin's Iron Bar, the Florida governor name-dropped federal agencies such as Central for Disease Control and Prevention, Food and Drug Administration, and more, while calling out what he referred to as cumbersome or non-essential aspects of the federal government. Our founding fathers created three branches of government, legislative, judicial, and executive, he said. They did not create a fourth branch of government for this administrative state that has developed to impose its will upon us without our consent. He pointed to his home state of Florida, which has a lower ratio of state employees per population compared to most of other states, and is actively paying down his debt. If elected, he swore to take those policies national. DeSantis was joined on stage Saturday by U.S. Reps Tom Massey, Republican Kentucky, and Chip Roy, Republican Texas. He spoke in favor of term limits for Congress members, as well as elimination of birthright citizenship for U.S.-born children of undocumented immigrants. In response to an audience question about the recent school shooting in Perry, Iowa, DeSantis also voiced support for early intervention strategies that would allow school personnel to connect with law enforcement about students they are concerned might commit such acts of violence. Calls into Dubuque County Democratic Party leadership for rebuttal were not returned Saturday. DeSantis' visit came just over a week before the January 15th Iowa caucuses. As it sits, DeSantis runs neck and neck with former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley for second place in national polling. Both poll far below former President Trump. Speaking to the Telegraph Herald on his visibility as a candidate, DeSantis repeatedly pointed toward what he cited as his opponent's unscrupulous intentions. Donald Trump is running for his issues. Nikki Haley is running for her donors' issues. I'm running for your issues. This isn't about me. It's about the people and the community. I'm not sure who I want to vote for yet, but what I hear DeSantis say, said Nick Kelly Thomas, the economy is a big thing for me, so I'm really listening to what everyone has to say on that.
Dubuque County resident helped guide Community Health Center for 9 years. A volunteer board member who helped guide Dubuque's Crescent Community Health Center through nearly a decade of growth has stepped down to further other volunteer passions. Ann Decker was a member of Crescent's board of directors for 9 years before recently retiring. In that time, she helped the Community Health Center expand its mission of accessible health care across the disciplines to all residents who need it. It's always been an exciting time to be on the board because we saw all the opportunities to grow at Crescent, she said. When I started on the board, we were on the old building across the street. Once we were in the new building, we outgrew what we thought we were growing into. That was exciting to be able to grow even more into other areas of the building. Decker's time on the board included hiring CEO Gary Collins, whom she called incredibly forward-thinking in adding both dental and brain health service at Crescent. Decker said members received monthly patient testimonials during board meetings, which touched her deeply. She recalled a patient who arrived one treatment and learned he would benefit from care in other departments and was guided to them. For that gentleman to continue in thinking he needed one service and ultimately benefit from others in the same building, he said he was amazed. That is really what Crescent is trying to do. They're to provide every service that they possibly can and make sure they're available to people in need. Decker served as board chair from 2020 to 2022, which coincided with the COVID-19 pandemic. Decker said it meant a lot to her to be trusted through that trying time. That was hard for all of us. Collins said Decker a gem in an email to the Telegraph Herald. I have never met a more compassionate and mission-driven person, he said. Anne gives of her time, talent, and treasure to the community in ways that are just incredible. And she certainly helped Crescent CHC through our move to the new space, the pandemic, and our incredible growth. Decker said she was glad to have been given her opportunities on the Crescent board, especially because she initially had no direct health care experience and had no academic credentials beyond high school. Anybody can take time to help and volunteer, she said. I feel that you get a lot out of helping people, maybe more than what the people receiving the help do in the end. I was not sure being on the Crescent board was for me when I was asked to join. I encourage people to take these leaps and get involved. Decker plans to focus her future efforts on the nonprofit she founded, the local chapter of Special Spaces, which makes over bedrooms for children with cancer. We've helped about 30 kids, she said. We feel that giving their special place to be in while they're going through treatment makes a difference.
News in brief. Dubuque School Board to consider approving contract for preschool center project. Dubuque Community School Board members are expected to consider approval of the construction contract for the district's new preschool center at their Monday, January 8th meeting. The meeting agenda includes approval of the executed construction contract, bonds, and certificate of insurance with Sheets General Constructions for the DCSD Preschool Center project for $1,842,000. The district plans to construct the preschool center in a portion of the building at 7900 Chauvinel Road, which Dubuque Initiative purchased in 2022 from Medline. Another section of the building houses the child care center operated by Dubuque Community Y that is set to open Monday, January 8th, and the remaining portion will be shared between the City of Dubuque and Dubuque County for a 911 operations center. The school district plans to buy the approximately 15,000 square feet of the building that it will use for the preschool center. The center will provide space for up to 10 classmates, though the district still will maintain one preschool classroom at each of its elementary schools. At its meeting, the board also is expected to approve a donation of a Gaga ball pit at Table Mound Elementary School and approve a $682,000 contract with Tricon Construction for a playground replacement project at Lincoln Elementary School. Dubuque NAACP to host Martin Luther King Jr. March Contest Award Ceremony. The Dubuque branch of the NAACP will hold a march and award ceremony next weekend in recognition of Martin Luther King Day. Participants are invited to meet at 12:15 p.m. Sunday, January 14th at Jackson Park, 15th and Iowa Street, for a march beginning at 12:30 p.m. to St. Luke's Methodist Church at 1199 Main Street. An award ceremony for students who had winning entries in a Martin Luther King Jr. tribute contest is set for 1 p.m. at the church. The event will be live streamed. Since 1990, the NAACP has sponsored a tribute contest for Dubuque students. They are asked to enter essays, art, poems, songs, and displays for consideration. The work of student honorees and honorable mentions will be displayed in the Children's Department at Carnegie Stout Public Library in Dubuque from Tuesday, January 16th to Sunday, February 4th. For more information, email rstewart@dubukeschools.org.
The police. Two injured in Dubuque crash. Dubuque's police say two people were injured Friday in a broadside crash. Robert J. McIntyre, 53, of Dubuque, reported pain following the crash and was transported by ambulance to Unity Point Health Findlay Center for Findlay Hospital for treatment, according to a crash report. An unnamed passenger also sustained minor injuries but declined treatment. The incident occurred around 5:40 p.m. Friday near the intersection of Asbury Road and University Avenue. Madeline E. Mueller, 21, of Duke, was eastbound on University Avenue when the report states she turned in front of McIntyre, whom was traveling westbound. McIntyre then struck Mueller's vehicle on the passenger side. The passenger in Mueller's car reported minor injuries, the report states. Mueller was cited with failure to maintain control and failure to provide proof of financial liability. The Dubuque Police and Dubuque County Sheriff's Departments reported that Timothy J. Miss, 65, no permanent address, was arrested at 9:21 p.m. Friday near the intersection of 13th Street and Central Avenue on charges of possession of methamphetamine, possession of drug paraphernalia, and two probation violations. Perry D. Nelson, 42, no permanent address, was arrested at 6:45 Friday near the intersection of Central Avenue and 14th Street on charges of assault without injury, criminal trespass, and interference with official acts. Jenna A. Grieve, 18, of 1717 Caledonia Place, was arrested at 4:21 p.m. on Friday at her residence on two charges of domestic abuse assault and one charge of interference with official acts. You are listening to the Dubuque Telegraph Herald on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind and Print Handicapped. Your reader is Marge
and Pat.
And if you have any comments on this or any IRIS program, please call 243-6833 or toll free at 877-404-4747. And don't forget, this and many other IRIS programs are available from our website at iowaradioreading.org. Now we return to the Telegraph Herald, and these are the obituaries.
Mary Ann M. Burback, 91 of Dubuque, died Tuesday, January 22, 2024, at the Stonehill Care Center in Dubuque. The visitation will be from 9 till 10:45 p.m. a.m. Tuesday, January 9, at Church of the Resurrection. Mass of Christian burial for Mary Ann will be at 11 a.m. Tuesday, January 9, at Church of the Resurrection, with Father Phil Gibbs as the celebrant. Burial will be in Resurrection Cemetery in Dubuque. Mary Ann was born October 16, 1932, in Sherrill, Iowa, the daughter of John and Ida Anthony Nauman. May 30, 1953, she married Carl J. Burback at Holy Trinity Catholic Church in Dubuque. He passed away on April 12, 2013. She was a member of the Church of Resurrection, where she helped with funeral dinners and a mother's club. A lover of nature, she was an avid walker, enjoyed gardening, and had volunteered at Dubuque Arboretum. She was a Chicago Cubs fan. She was wearing a master quilter and enjoyed crafting. Survivors include 8 children. In lieu of flowers, the memorial has been established for the Dubuque Arboretum and Botanical Gardens. Hoffman, Schneider, and Kitchen Funeral Home and Crematory is in care of arrangements. Condolences may be sent to the family by visiting Mary Ann's obituary site at www.hskflowfhcares.com.
Teresa A. Drew, Cascade, Iowa.
Teresa Drew, 84, of Cascade, Iowa, and formerly of Fillmore, Iowa, passed away on Thursday, January 4, 2024, at Genesis East Medical Center in Davenport. Services for Teresa will be held at 10:30 a.m. on Monday, January 8th, at Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Fillmore, Iowa, with Reverend Mark Osterhaus presiding. Assisting deacon will be Joe Schmachmull. Burial will be held at Sacred Heart Cemetery in Fillmore. Teresa was born on July 26, 1939, in Monticello, Iowa, daughter of Joseph and Mary Murfield. She received her education in the former St. Mary's School in Cascade. On May 16, 1959, she was united in marriage to Ralph Drew at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Cascade, Iowa. He preceded her in death on June 6, 1997. Teresa had a giving heart. She loved to bake and shared her many labors of love with others. She also enjoyed quilting, playing cards, visiting the casino, and had a passion for traveling. She loved the family gatherings and was a great hostess. She was a member of Sacred Heart Parish in Cascade, the Catholic Daughters of America, Our Blessed Mother Court, number 1926, and the Cascade American Legion Auxiliary. She is survived by 2 daughters, grandchildren. She is preceded in death by her parents, twin daughters Julie and Janet, in October of 1964, her siblings Carl Murfield, Frank Murfield, Robert Murfield, Louis Murfield, Mary Ann, and several in-laws.
Rose M. Wolf. Rose M. Wolf, 85, of Cascade, Iowa, passed away on Thursday, January 4th, 2024, at her home in Cascade, Iowa. Visitation for Rose will be held from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. on Saturday, January 13th, 2024, at the St. Martin Catholic Church in Cascade, where Rosary will be held at 10:30 and services will be held at 11, with Father Joseph Wolf presiding. Celebrating will be Father Mark Osterhaus, Daniel Knepper, Father Leonard Rivella, Father Mark Christina, Father John Paul Zeller, and Father Miguel Sherman. Burial will be held in Calvary Cemetery in Cascade. Brian K.J. Lipinski. Brian Keith James Lipinski, better known as Big Dog, and better known as Lip, passed away at his home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin on December 29, 2023, at the age of 53. Loving husband of Angela M. Lipinski Freeman, and dear brother of Nancy Lipinski, both of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He was preceded in death by his parents, James Lipinski and Kellen. Brian and Angela began their life together in August of 2014 and married December 17, 2023. Brian spent most of his career working at Ace Hardware, which he began working with his father at the age of 14 and built up his way to manager. Brian was a dedicated Packers, Brewers, and Badger fan. He joined playing darts and cribbage, spending time with friends, and going to Mercer, Wisconsin. Brian took great pride in his heritage, considered his family and friends, and was also there for the ones he loved. He had a zest for life that no one else could take from him. He will be dearly missed. All who knew him loved him. Visitation at the Max A. Sasson's funeral home in Greenwich Chapel in Greenfield, Wisconsin. Wait a minute.
Diane K. Lahr, Worthington, Iowa. Diane K. Lahr, 65, of Worthington, Iowa, passed away peacefully, surrounded by her family, on Sunday, December 31st, 2023, at her home in Worthington, Iowa. Visitation for Diane will be held from 3 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, January 9th, at the Reef Funeral Home in Dyersville, Iowa, where the Worthington Fire Department will meet in a body at 6:15 p.m. A mass Christian burial for Diane will be held at 10:30 on Wednesday, January 10th at the Basilica of St. Francis Xavier in Dyersville, with the Reverend Chris Podhoski officiating. A celebration of life for Diane will be held at a later date. Diane was born on November 24, 1958 in Dubuque, Iowa, daughter of Tom and Jeanette Wrecker Bell. She was a 1977 graduate of Beckman High School in Dyersville. Diane went on to earn her nursing degree at Northeast Iowa Community College in Peosta. On August 2, 1980, she was united in marriage to Gary Lahr at the Basilica St. Francis Xavier Catholic Church in Dyersville, Iowa. Diane was a nurse at Mercy One Dubuque for 44 years, retiring in November 2023. She also volunteered at the Dyersville Recreation Center as an aerobics instructor for many years. Diane was a loving wife, mother, and grandmother who truly enjoyed spending time with her family. She also enjoyed camping with her family and friends. Diane enjoyed spending time on her family farm in her flower gardens. Diane was a member of St. Francis Xavier Parish in Dyersville. She is survived by her husband, Gary Lahr of Worthington, two children, three grandchildren. She is preceded in death by her father and mother-in-law, Herman and Beverly Lahr, and brother-in-law, Brad Lahr. The family would like to give a special thank you to her caregivers, Tina Mead, Aaron Ulbrich, Whitney Strong, staff and nurses at Hospice of Dubuque, and nurses and staff at Mercy West for all the wonderful care and support they gave to Diane and her family. Marcella M. Conzen. Marcella Conzen, 91, of Dubuque, passed away January 1, 2024. Marcella donated her body to the University of Iowa for medical research. There will be no public services. Marcella was born on January 19, 1932, to Nicholas and Mathilda Freeberger Weber in Rockdale, Iowa. She attended St. Patrick's and St. Joseph's Academy. In her teenage years, Marcella worked as a meat butcher at Tannenbaum Grocery in Dubuque. On August 17, 1949, she was united in marriage to Louis Conzen at St. Raphael's Cathedral. Marcella and Louis owned and operated a dairy farm for 15 years. In her younger years, she was a very hard-working farm wife, doing everything from farm chores to raising five children. After selling the farm, the family moved to Dubuque, where Marcella became a wonderful homemaker. Raising her five children was a full-time job. She loved to cook and was an excellent pie baker. After raising her children, she was a compassionate caregiver for two elderly individuals. Marcella loved playing euchre, doing puzzles, gambling, going on casino trips and bus trips, and traveling. She cherished time spent on family vacations. She was a very strong and independent woman, living in her home and caring for herself until the age of 91. Marcella is survived by her children. Her family wishes to extend a most heartfelt thank you to the staff at Stone Hill Care Center and Hospice of Dubuque for the wonderful care given to Marcella. Your kindness and compassion will never be forgotten. Memorials may be given to Hospice of Dubuque. Beverly Kubaszewski. Beverly Kubaszewski, 96, of Dubuque, died on Friday, January 25th. Visitation will be held from 9 to 10:15. Wednesday, January 10th at St. Anthony Catholic Church, where a Mass of Christian burial will follow at 10:30 a.m. Burial will take place in Mount Olivet Cemetery in Key West, Hoffman, Schneider, and Kitchen Funeral Home, and Crematory 3860 Asbury Road is assisting the family. Stephen Kane, Muscatine, Iowa. Stephen Kane, 68, of Muscatine, and formerly of Dubuque, died on Thursday, January 4, 2024. Visitation will be held from 11 to 1 p.m. Saturday, January 13th, at Eaglehawk, Cedric, and Casper Funeral Home and Crematory, 2659 John F. Kennedy Road. The services will follow. Burial will be in Dubuque Memorial Gardens.
Rose M. Burkholder. Rose M. Burkholder, 80, of Platteville, Wisconsin, passed away on Monday, January 1st, 2024. A private family service has been held and a private family burial at later date. The Haudenschill Funeral Home and Cremation Service in Cuba City, Wisconsin, is serving the family. Rose was born on April 28, 1943, to Thomas and Rosella Altferry in Cuba City. She attended Benton High School. She married Richard Dick Burkholder on October 1959 in Benton, Wisconsin. She worked as a program manager at Dick's Supermarket for over 26 years, retiring in 1998. She was a member of the WBFW Women's Auxiliary in Platteville. Rose enjoyed tending to her garden and many flower beds and was always up for fun and competitive games of dice or cards. She was a superb home chef and cooked many delicious meals, canned a variety of fruits and vegetables, baked mouth-watering desserts, and every year baked a feast of Christmas candies for her family. She also enjoyed going to garage sales looking for treasures with her sister Luann, brought her much fun and laughter through the years. But most of all, she enjoyed time with her family, grandchildren, pets, and friends. She will be sadly missed by all who knew her and loved her. Rose is survived by her husband of 64 years, Dick, and three sons and many other relatives.
Clara String. Sister Clara Natalie String, OSF, age 90, of Clare House, Dubuque, Iowa, passed away at 3:45 a.m. January 4th at Clare House. The rite of final committal was held at the Clare House Chapel, Mount St. Francis Center, at 10:30 on Friday, January 5th, followed by burial at the Sisters of St. Francis Natural Burial Site. A memorial mass will be held at 10:30 a.m. Friday, January 12th at the Clare House Chapel, Mount St. Francis Center. Live stream of both services can be viewed at www.youtube.com. Dubuque Franciscans. She was born on April 10, 1933 in Cascade, the daughter of Anthony and Adele String. Clara entered the Sisters of St. Francis August 25, 1951 and made final profession of vows August 10, 1957. Sister received her M.A. in Elementary Administration from Lawrence College, Dubuque in 1970. She ministered as an educator in Illinois at Melrose Park and in Iowa at Roseville, St. Donatus, St. Catherine, and St. Mary's, Dubuque. She served in parish ministry in Cherokee, Iowa, and in Mission, South Dakota. She also served in pastoral ministry in Arizona at Tucson, Sells, and Tapawa. Sister is survived by her sister Mary Neers, a brother Lloyd String, nieces and nephews, and her Franciscan sisters. The Sisters of St. Francis express their thanks to Hospice of Dubuque for their care and concerns. Memorials may be given to the Sisters of St. Francis, Dubuque. Miller Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. Nicole Meyer, Lamotte, Iowa. Nicole Meyer, 45, of Lamotte, Iowa, passed away peacefully surrounded by her loving family on January 3rd. Nicole was born on August 1st, 1978 in Dubuque to Gerald Clemmer and Beth Hubbard. Nicole married her husband Matthew Meyer on May 1st, 1999, and they went on to have two children, Montana and Maverick. Nicole loved most being a mother, taking pride in the lives of her children. She always unconditionally and unselfishly supported her family and friends. Nicole is preceded in death by her son Maverick Meyer. She is survived by her husband Matthew Meyer, her daughter Montana Meyer, her parents Gerald and Beth Kremer, her sister Jerry Kalb, her brother Jesse Kremer, and her loving dogs Smoke and Storm. Private family services will be held in honor of Nicole. In lieu of flowers or gifts, the family requests a donation in Nicole's name to the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals or the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention Organizations that Nicole cared deeply for. Leonard Funeral Home and Crematory Dubuque is assisting the family.
Elta M. Castleberry of Farley, Iowa, 85, died on Saturday, December 30th, 2023. Private services will be held. Tri-State Cremation Center of East Dubuque, Illinois is assisting the family. Marion L. Sauer, 77, of Dubuque, died on Saturday, December 30th, 2023. Private services will be held. Tri-State Cremation Center of East Dubuque, Illinois, assisting the family.
Sarah L. Jurisic, 67, of Dubuque, passed away Sunday, December 31st. According to her wishes, no public service will be held. Leonard Funeral Home and crematories assisting the family. Sarah was born on December 22, 1956 in Dubuque, daughter of Joseph and June Miller. Sarah was a talented crafter who enjoyed bowling, shopping, bingo, playing cards, and most of all, spending time with family and friends. Sarah loved life and put her all into everything she did. More impressively, she gave her all to those she loved. Sarah will be so greatly cherished and missed by all who knew her. She has been united with her eternal love.
That brings us to the end of today's reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for this date, January 8th, 2024. I'm your reader, Marge.
And Pat.
And support for this reading comes from the Dubuque R.W. Heffer Foundation. The Telegraph Herald can be heard each weekday at 2 p.m. All programs heard on IRIS are intended solely for the blind and print handicapped. If you have any questions or comments on this or any of this IRIS program, please call our office toll-free at 877-404-4747. And thanks for listening.